Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins.
Yes, mercy for us.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of praise is, "What wondrous love is this?"
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this,
gave his body to be whipped and his face to be spit upon. Give us grace to accept joyfully the sufferings of the present time, confident of the glory that shall be revealed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 70 is on page 682. We'll read it responsively by whole verse. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let those who seek my life be ashamed and altogether dismayed. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced.
Let those who say to me, aha, and gloat over me, turn back, because they are ashamed.
Let all who seek to rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, great is the Lord.
But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God.
You are my helper and my deliverer.
I don't know the gospel.
Honestly,
stay with me. Remain here with me. Watch and pray.
So when he had given the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. And after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this. Some thought that because Judas had become first, Jesus was telling them, "Buy what we need the best," or that he should give something. So after receiving a piece of bread, he immediately went out. And it was night, and he had gone out. And Jesus said, Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, who is love. Amen. So, if you asked me what my favorite holiday was, I would definitely say Holy Week, which I think officially qualifies me to be a church nerd, 100%. But I think there's a few reasons why I would say that is true. The first is a little silly. I was actually born on Holy Saturday, April 21st. It was a really late Easter. It will be Easter on my birthday next year. We can all be excited for that. And because of that, as a young girl, my dad would tell me the story of my birth twice on my actual birthday, and then also every time around Easter, we get on the phone. He talks to me about how the hospital is so quiet. And then on a more serious note, I have come over the years in my life to treasure deeply the rhythm of Holy Week and the journey of walking with God. And when I moved from the more evangelical tradition to the Episcopal Church, it became a commitment of mine to go to all of the services through the week. And luckily for people who live in Boston have been able to access the resource of the monastery during this a few times, and really have come to treasure these 4 days that we're about to embark on. And because of that commitment, Holy Week has really developed a pattern or a rhythm that I can fall into around this time of year, which is beautiful. So the services can wash over me and hit me in new ways that I'm not expecting. But on the same time, there's a challenge about it for people who are so accustomed to Holy Week, that we can often find ourselves rushing ahead of Holy Week, of waiting for the favorite part, for me, maybe my favorite song to be sung on Easter Sunday, or the favorite moment of the clearing of the altar on Maundy Thursday, or the silence of Good Friday. In effect, there could be even a temptation to think that we know how this story ends. So let's just get through these first few days. But the truth is that we actually never know how the story of Holy Week ends. That Holy Week isn't a linear timeline of events, although it can be commemorated like that. It's actually, like all of the stories of Jesus, a reoccurring living story that's always ongoing in our lives. That we are always praising and lauding change that we think we have waited for, that we are always bemoaning the actual implications of that change, that we are always being betrayed by friends, and that we are always learning more and more what it's like to love unto the time of death. And so that's why I would hope that for us and for as we enter into this Holy Week, to get full depth and richness of it, that we take the time to really sink into each day of Holy Week. And today, what our reading brings us to is a moment of, in small words, utter confusion of the disciples and even of Jesus to some point. When you look at the Greek words for to be troubled and uncertain and to not know, they actually reveal a depth of perplexity. The translation for Jesus was troubled in spirit is literally, he was troubled to the spirit. It reminds me of shaken to the bone, that his complete core was breaking about what was about to happen. And this type of confusion is very well understood. This tight band of friends is being told that their leader is about to leave them through death. They're undergoing this political and religious revolution that isn't really looking like what they were expecting it to. It makes sense that they were confused. this type of confusion too is something I think that for me at least, and probably most Western post-Enlightenment brains, we've been trained to avoid. We put our schedules into little boxes so that we know exactly what's happening. We can avoid anxiety and uncertainty through busyness or more harmful behaviors at time. And any time that we have a problem that we don't know how to solve, well, you can just take it from me and ECM and the diocese. You can undergo a 2-year strategic plan and figure it all out. And this type of confusion, right, is something that we've been trained to avoid, but it's the exact confusion that begins the holiest of days in our church year. And I would suggest that that's because as much as confusion is disarming, it's also creating a space for opening and possibility. And what confusion does for us is that it disarms our ability to figure it out with our brain, and it invites us into a surrender to what the Spirit might be doing. And so what I would ask us to reflect on as we begin these next few holy days, or as we enter into the Holy Week, is that we would wonder what it might look like to adopt the same sort of confusion and perplexion that the disciples had. On a personal level, what would it look like if instead of thinking about the traits that we don't love about ourselves as things to be conquered, we softened to them and paid attention to what they might be telling us? We surrendered to their existence. And on a public level, what would it look like for us to really admit that we can't figure out why we can't beat these systems of oppression and violence? That it's not just this political moment, that racism and misogyny have been existing forever. And what would it look like to lift up our hands and say, we don't know? How would inviting that sense of perplexion and grief in both situations open us up to a new opportunity of redemption? How might starting with opening and surrender and breaking with the disciples and breaking with Jesus lead us through Holy Week in a way that enables us to see new possibilities and new life? Well, I invite you into the next few days to stay with me, as Jesus asks, to remain with him and to watch and to pray, for the hour is at hand. Amen.